Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good to see y'all. Are y'all okay? It's a pretty day. It's a little chilly. It's a pretty day out there. Glad you're all here today. Let's see. How about we go to 478, please? And let's stand. 478. Thank you for getting us all here today. Thanks, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here just to worship you, Lord. Thank you for the song, Lord. Help us to be willing, Lord, to just step out and do whatever it is that you ask of us, Lord. It may not be way over some other nation, some other land. It might just be in our own backyard, Lord. But help us just to be willing, Lord. Help us to remember the love that you have for us, Lord, especially through our Savior who took our place, Lord. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for my pastor being here today with his wife. Lord, he's going to preach here later. Lord, give him the strength that he needs, Lord, to deliver your message today, Lord, that it might talk to someone today, Lord. That person might want to get right for you today, Lord. I just pray for a great day here, Lord. Just that we can honor and glorify your name here, Lord, in all that we do. Be with us now. Just guide and direct. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. You may be seated. Let's see. 506, please. 506. Tonight is our evening service at 6 o'clock, and your ballots are due today for our annual business meeting coming up here shortly. Nominate committee is going to meet tomorrow at 6 o'clock here at the church. Women's Bible study at Cottage Grove is going to meet on the 4th at 6. Don't forget to turn your clock up next week before you go to bed, not after you wake up. Annual business meeting is the 12th. Iron Sharpens Irons on the 4th and 18th of this month. Personal evangelism is on the 11th and 25th. Our next fellowship is in April. Whew, it's got a long one here. Pastor, thought of the week. When was the last time you prayed for, supported, or considered a personal role concerning vocational missions? What about us as our church that you prayed? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Pray. Father, thank you again for getting us here today, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity, Lord, just to be here. Thank you, Lord, for all that showed up, anticipating a little time in your word with our pastor. Many, many things, Lord, we've accomplished this week for your safety, just keeping us well. Now we have a chance, Lord, just to give a small portion back to you. I just pray, Lord, that we would give to you freely and hilariously, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. pastor's going to play for us.
Yes. Ladies, if I can hold you here for a minute, after I'm done, Lonnie, 4:36, and then a verse or so of it while I get myself put back together.
So right now?
No, after I'm done.
After I'm done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Please.
Saving grace.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you today. Today's an important day in God's program. And yes, is there anything really special about today? Well, yes, there should be. By the way, young folks can head down at this time if you'd like. But understand this, folks, every day that God gives us is special. He has a purpose designated in it. And that's the important thing, that every day we arise to seek His face and seek His will. Now, let me just say this. I want to welcome everyone today. And I'm glad to see those that are here. God has a reason why you're here and why you're not, why those that are not here. And hopefully He will be the focus of all of that as He works His will through us. And again, allows Himself to be made known. Anyway, it's good to be gathered with you today. Welcome if you're visiting again as well. Yes, our message today revolves around missions and the work of us as the local church, the Bride of Christ, and our role in that. No, I do not choose the hymns here at Fruitland. But interesting today, and I had the message prepared before I knew what these were, interestingly, God fits these things all together. And so even that little extra that I had you sing this morning has to do with our mission field that God has called us to. And everyone in here today that is a believer, that has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, has a mission field, whether that's in your home. That's certainly the core of it where it begins, but also outside of your home, which may be your neighborhood, your city, your job, et cetera, et cetera. And we're called also to go into the uttermost parts of the world by Jesus as well. So sometimes we cannot do that ourselves, but we can facilitate others that do. But missions is an imperative, and so thusly, this message will have relevance to all of us today one way or another. We'll either accept it, we'll be changed by it, or we'll reject it and reap the consequences, either way, how this ever falls. But the title today is A Snapshot of Missions Fervor and the Local Church. I'd like you to think a little bit with me, what is fervor? And do we have it personally, and do we have it here at Fruitland? But fervor, Lonnie, you're pounding on your chest, but that has a part to do with it. Are you moved in a dynamic way to obey God's word and to, again, fulfill it in a real way? Or is it just something that passes through till the time is up and on you go with the things that are on your agenda? But let me assure you today, God has an agenda for every one of us. And we need to seek what that is and get down the line with it. A couple things before we go to prayer. Tonight is communion. If you're one who has trusted Christ as his Savior, that's an important time. Jesus gave that commandment. He said, do this to remember me. And yes, you can remember Jesus all the time, but he does say to his believers to do it. And it's a time of fellowship with him, but also symbolically with one another in Christ. So it is a church function, at least at times it is. We don't do it every time we meet, but every month we do here at Fruitland. It's a reminder again of Jesus, and that's what he has called us to do. Also, one other little item that we need to plan for. We did have a planning meeting last Sunday at 4:30. I believe we need to have another one next Sunday, and the reason that I believe it's an imperative is because we have our annual business meeting a week from this coming Wednesday. And so we do need some things in order with our calendar because they are items that may be relevant once again in our business meeting. So if you would be able to gather once again at 4:30 or 5 this coming Sunday, Deb, if you can put that in the bulletin, would 4:30 be better for everyone? I think it would for us. And have just a little more time and a little gap between the two times. That would be, I think, an appropriate thing to do. Is there anything else that we need to point out today before we begin that involves housekeeping, so to speak? All right, well, with that said, let's turn our hearts at this time toward worship of the Lord. And one of the first ways to adjust those is in some silent prayer, just for a few minutes as we approach the throne and as God feeds us today from his word. And hopefully today we'll take to heart what his word says in it and that it will make a difference and will cause us to leave here changed. But welcome today, and greetings in Jesus' name. This is an important day. Every day is in God's program. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this moment of quietness today and this day that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus, for your benevolence and grace manifested upon us, and even for these few moments in a chaotic world and in chaotic lives, where we can just take a moment to say, Lord, I do acknowledge you today. I do love you. I want to worship you. I hope, Lord, that that's the case for everyone here, but it may not be. I don't know the hearts here today, but you do. And I just pray today, Lord, that you would deal with all of our hearts. And help us, O Lord, to understand your goodness towards us, but also the gravity of our disobedience before you. Help us, Lord, to be brought into a living walk with you, not of a harsh manner, but of a loving manner. And Lord, we freely, or at least I freely acknowledge, I struggle, Lord, in my life and in my areas, Lord, of sin and disobedience to you. I'm sure everyone in this room can confess that to you today, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us and forgive me specifically, Lord, but that you would cleanse us today, Lord, for service with you. But, Lord, most importantly, that you'd fill us today with the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit. We already have the indwelling of the Spirit, Lord, through our salvation. We're adopted into your family. We're made to drink into one Spirit. But, Lord, today we need the filling of the Holy Ghost in our lives, that unction within us that prompts us to get with it, Lord, and to accomplish once again, Lord, the things that you have set before us. Lord, help us not to put off anything today that we should, that we know we should be dealing with. And Lord, we do acknowledge today that you are worthy of all of our worship and more, Lord. You're worthy of everything because you are indeed the great creator, the sustainer, Lord, the redeemer, and Lord, the perpetuator of our eternal salvation. So we give you praise for that this day, Lord, never enough. But Lord, we do what we can, Lord, to let you know we love you, if indeed we do. Now, Lord, today I thank you for everyone that's in attendance, but I also am thinking of those that are not in attendance, those of our regular numbers, Lord, but also our community around us, our friends, neighbors, family, all types of people, Lord, that for various reasons, some may attend other churches, and I do pray for other Bible teaching, preaching churches today. But Lord, for those that are not, for those that are lost today in the wilderness, Lord, I pray you'd gather them in. I pray that you do what you have to do, but I do ask, Lord, that you'd be gentle, but that you would get them, Lord, under the sound of the gospel. And Lord, that there would be connections that are made between the people here at Fruitland and our community and those that we associate with on a daily basis. Wouldn't that be a shame, Lord, like the song we just sang said, if we would not have taken action with people whose souls are destined for hell? Help us, Lord, to get this right, to wake up today, Lord, before it's too late. Anyway, Lord, I do pray for those that may be genuinely ill today with physical needs, but also genuinely ill with spiritual needs this day. And I pray, Lord, that you as the great physician will deal with them and bring them back to full health, whichever side of that it may be on. Today, Lord, our message in the broad scheme deals with missions, but it really deals with us, Lord, because we're the source of that. Of course, your love for us is really the source and that the sharing of that. But, Lord, we know that the local church has been ordained to be the foundation of missions, whether it be local or into the world, Lord, wherever it may go from there. I pray, Lord, that you would convict Fruitland if it needs convicted, Lord, and all I can do is preach the word. But I know this, Lord, that there are many areas that we are not living up to the expectations that you would easily allow us to be able to accomplish. So I pray, Lord, you'd work in our hearts today. And also, Lord, I ask your help, as I did here before the service, that you allow me to preach and bring forth this message today for your honor and glory with your strength, because, Lord, I can't do it. And you know that I'm the weak one, but, Lord, all I can do is bring the power that you have in your word to us this day. Lord, may this be a dynamic day. It is intended for a purpose. May it be found, Lord, in the hearts of the people here today. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, I have been led to stir our thoughts and actions by it. Isn't that what the Word of God says? I think it's the Apostle Peter said people need to be stirred up once in a while. I could do that all the time, and it's my goal to stir us up. Although I don't want to be unkind to anyone, I have that responsibility. And so today, it's not going to be a radical message, but it should be radical to all of us here today that we think about it and process it. So I would like to stir our thoughts, but not only our thoughts, but also what? Our actions, our hearts, that's right, on the subject of missions And I have been led to do this for quite some time. It has been on my stack of to-do things that the Spirit laid on my heart. By the way, that's how I preach. You folks, through the Spirit, give me suggestions, and I still have some that are not fulfilled. But that's how I operate. The Spirit lays stuff on my heart to preach about. And so that's how I'm going to continue until He tells me to stop, or you do, one or the other. So anyway, I don't see any stop signs out here today. Maybe that'll be the next fandangled thing that we do here at Fruitland. Someone will have a sign that says, stop, Pastor John. And if that starts, I'm going to start headed for the doors. Because we're going to preach the Word here, folks. If we quit doing that, we're in trouble. And we need to come under the authority of God's Word, and again, under the practice of God's Word. Amen? The Holy Spirit has placed it in the next in the hopper, as I said, with a little more nudging from the seminar from the head of the missions department up at Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary that we attended at the Refresh Conference. And folks, I don't know if any of you even looked at that booklet I brought back from up at Faith. My guess is... Thank you. Someone was honest with me today. Sometimes I booby-trap things to see if anyone's looked at things. So if you ever rifle through my files... And we laugh about that, folks, but you know what? There was valuable information up there from missions. And folks, I'm going to tell you, most of the churches today have got things totally wrong. And I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Fruitland needs help and improvement in those areas too. Okay? That's coming from God's Word. Now, I took the book back because I put it into my files. But if some of you would be led to say, Pastor, could we see that again? Sure, I'll get it out. That's why I went. Not only for myself, but for you folks. Anyway, I was convicted by that. And yes, I've met some of our former missionaries that were there that day and visited with them that are now elderly and off the field. But anyway, if you read that book, there are some things in there that we could use to help us to handle missions personally and as a church in a better way. And they are the result, again, of the spiritual fervor that we find in ourselves and in the church, or the lack thereof. And you can process that as you will. But this is my opinion. Fruitland Baptist Church needs improvement in general and specifically. By the way, I'm not here to browbeat us, because I'd have to browbeat myself, but I'm here to help us to understand there are ways we can improve in anything we do, right? It's that simple. And I do believe that we need that improvement in general here at Fruitland, and specifically in missions. Both personal, local, and foreign, however that may apply. So today, some tips for gaining and growing the missionary fervor. Our text for today is going to be found in the book of Acts. Under the hand and authorship of Dr. Luke, through the Holy Spirit, will be primarily in Acts chapter 11 and 13 today. And so we're going to begin this morning in Acts chapter 11. And there's 4 points, I believe. I got to check my paper here to this message. Yes, I'm correct on that, that you might want to jot down and get some of the principal things that go along with this today. Now, Jason has put a map up here for us today that I chose through the week, but this happens to be the Apostle Paul and his cohort's missionary journeys. And most of you, if you have a good study Bible, will have this in the back of that as well, not maybe this same map. But the important thing is that, and there are many sources, you can go onto the internet, that's where this one came from. By the way, today we live in a wonderful world in many ways. We have so many resources available to us. But it's helpful to understand where Paul went, and not only Paul, but as I say, the cohorts that God sent with him on these journeys. Paul really took 3 journeys. But he had some other activities as well. Jason asked me this morning when I asked him if he had this ready to screen, and he said yes. And I can't remember how this all came about, but I said, it doesn't matter which map, any map will do, even a map of Iowa. Because Paul's on one of his missionary journeys in Iowa too today, almost 2,000 years ago. Hopefully we're all on that journey here at Fruitland. Right? We've seen what Paul's done. We're on a journey that's been prompted through the Holy Spirit, through God's writings through Paul. Let me tell you something. Paul got something accomplished. He really did. And it's dynamic and it's recorded. And it puts us to shame. I can't speak for you, but it puts me to shame. Okay? When we think of the methods and the material that we have today to accomplish missions and how little is accomplished, and think back to what Paul had. Paul did not have the modern conveniences that we do, but Paul accomplished a lot in a short number of years relatively. He touched this whole world, Southern Europe, what we call Eurasia, or was called Eurasia in the Bible, Turkey, so forth, down to the in the Syria, in the Middle East, all the way to Jerusalem. Paul had the least impact, though, in his teaching. Where? Among his own people in Israel. He was not well thought of because, again, he was a Jew and was saved, and there was some distrust there. But you can read about all of his journeys. I wanted to point out a couple things today before we start. And, by the way, we can't use a pointer on our screen here. I have to have a stick, and we do have one. But if you can look over here in Syria, you'll see a little town called Antioch. If you look northwest on the map, which is that away, you'll also see a town called Tarsus. Do you see those on there? Paul's hometown was Tarsus. But Antioch is one of two Antiochs that's mentioned in the Bible. And I just want to explain this to you because if you go over here, a little further to the northwest, you see Antioch of Pisidia. But what we're talking about today in our text is Antioch of Seleucia, okay, in the Syrian nation at that time. So it's important, both are mentioned in the Bible, that you know about that. They both have relevance, which I won't go into today, but the town there of Antioch is where Paul began with missions. And the journey that we're going to explore today is going southwest, or that-a-way, toward Salamis and Cyprus and Paphos, okay? This is where he was going to be sent to, or where the church at Antioch sent him to. So Antioch is a key focus today, but you can peruse that map a little bit. And again, your phones or devices will pull all that up as well. And most of you maybe that have a study Bible, you'll find that in the back of your Bible as well. So here's the first point that we want to examine today about missions. And it's this: preaching, persecution, willing witnesses, and power. So that's the first little sub-point today. Preaching, persecution, willing witnesses, and power. I tell you this before I start into this text today, folks. We're missing three of the things of this first point in our world today and in our church today. You know which ones I'm talking about. We're missing the preaching, the persecution, and the willing witnesses. God's power has not diminished. We just have diminished seeking God's power. Well, let's look at this morning and realizing again the context of where this time was in the early church. So let's go to Acts 11, beginning with verse 19. And by the way, we're not persecuted today either in the United States. We could be if we really stood up for Jesus. But I believe that's why we're not as much today here, because we don't stand for Jesus. It's low-keyed, it's lukewarm. Kind of like when we walked into Fruitland this morning. We're going through the same routine. But folks, if you get out there and you get after it for Jesus, you're going to see things happen, but you're also going to experience persecution. But the preaching of the word has to be the underpinning of the Spirit to work. Did you hear me on that? The preaching of the word must be the underpinning for the Holy Spirit to work. It's through the word. Here we find in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Who are the people that are being talked about in this verse? They were the converted Jews, the Jews that were saved in the Jerusalem area, specifically. But what happened there is recorded in Scripture as well, and what took place when people began to get saved? Satan didn't like it. Sound familiar? And Satan operates. Someone told me in Sunday school, and I read it too, I believe it was in the Congo that I read, there were several people beheaded for their Christian faith in recent history. Is that correct? We don't like to look at those kind of things, but folks, If you want to see things go here in America, that's probably how it'll end up being too for the Lord. Because persecution coincides with the growth of the church. There's an old saying, and I can't quote it perfectly, but that's basically what it is. The growth of the church is based on the martyrs of the church. And who's the martyr here? The first martyr of the church that's being spoken of? It's Stephen. Stephen was stoned, okay, for his faith because he got up and preached the word. And the Jews did not want to hear it. The non-converted Jews did not want to hear it. And they took his life. Does it sound familiar to someone that went before him? Jesus. John the Baptist. Go right back through all Scripture. If you don't stand up for the Word of God, nothing's going to happen. But when you do stand up for the Word of God, look out. But you know what? That's under God's care, isn't it? And we need to do what He says no matter what we think. Bottom line, persecution rose about Stephen, and it traveled as, and these people that were interrupted by that, they were no longer able to work where they were. It just spread the gospel. And first of all, they went to the Jews in those areas that are mentioned there, including the city of Antioch that I just pointed out, of Seleucia. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. You see, the gospel transcends all cultures and ethnicities. And this is something that we need to remember, folks. God's interested in more people than just the people we normally associate with here in the Midwest. We are very ethnicized here. We like our people groups of the culture that we are used to, of the ethnicities that we are used to, but folks, throw that out the window because that's not how God works. It doesn't mean you don't continue to be interested in those different things that maybe you are part of, but we need to have a world view of how God works. And let me tell you something, folks, in our area today, you know, Kim and I had a couple of days in Chicago with the grandkids. We live in a multi-ethnic culture. We need to get our thinking adjusted to that, that we get out there with all types of people and that we make it a point to do that. I ask us all here today, are you involved in that? You don't need to answer to me. You need to answer to the Lord. Because if you're a believer here today, a born-again, blood-bought believer, we have a responsibility. And it is missions. And that can, you know, that translates into the church and our responsibility for missions work. It's the church. It's not missionaries or people. It's the church acting as the Christians that are responsible for missions. That's something that many people don't understand either. Missions are grounded in the local church. Anyway, there was a lot of persecution. One turn this morning, if you'll bear with me. Back just two chapters. Surely that won't be too hard for anyone. Acts 8, 1 and 4. I just want to show you this again. What was going on in that day. Acts 8, 1 and 4. And here again, we read about Saul, who eventually became Paul, who was saved on the road to Damascus. And Saul was consenting unto his death. This was Stephen, by the way, that was referred to in this verse. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. That's why we're not persecuted today, folks, because we're not really standing. In a way that is, okay, I'll use the term militant. I went to an ordination several years ago, and I used that word, and everyone looked at me. What's the matter with you? That's not a term that we hear anymore. But you know what? It's not gone out of God's vocabulary. We need to be militant about Jesus. We need to be like Zelensky in the White House, telling people about Jesus. We can talk about that later. Which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. By the way, what did the apostles do? They hung in there. Some of them lost their lives. Verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere and hid out where it was safe. What's it say? They went everywhere preaching the word. You can apply that to your life, and I can to mine. Is that our emphasis in life? Well, folks, the thing is about this persecution is that it takes witnesses to new receptive audiences. And if we have no persecution, you will have no fervor. No fervor. Could I be persecuted? I think I have in nominal ways. But you know, maybe I just haven't gotten vocal enough yet about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's subdued pretty much, but it's out there, folks. And you know, it's like Jesus said, if they hated him, they're going to hate us. Well, the other thing that I mentioned in this that's very important is the preaching. And preaching is compelling. And again, it's the instruction that's given from those who are called leaders. And people that are called into the mission field are just that. Let's go on with our reading here in verse 20 or 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And notice what took place here. And you saw in verse 20, I read earlier, the preaching, the compelling, that's what that is. And notice the results of that. Read it to me. And a great number believed. And this is what I would call a revival, folks. Right? We sorely need the mission work of this type of thing in our world today, in our homes, maybe in our lives here personally, I think so, and all the way through to the uttermost parts of the world. We need revival, people's hearts being changed. People saying, even today as you hear these words, I think the Spirit is saying to people, hey, you know what? The Word, it's not John that's right, it's the Word. I'm not where I should be. And why am I not? See? Am I compelled to move? Well, when the Spirit is at work in the lives of people, you will be compelled. You may resist the Spirit, but this is what I believe with all my heart, folks. People have quenched the Spirit. They do not want to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, help us. That's what I have to say. But notice there was revival. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. You know what I think, folks? We're a lot like Jonah in some ways. Talk to us, Brother Dave. Yep. What about Jonah? God sent him to Nineveh for a revival. Jonah didn't want to go. He finally ends up going because God twists his tail. I'll use that expression. He goes and preaches, and what happens in Nineveh? There's a great revival. The whole city is saved. Even the king, his heart's turned. And so what's Jonah do after that? He goes and sits under a gourd because he's ticked off. He's a whiner. And you know, that's how it's recorded that he went into history, as far as we know, into eternity. He was mad at God because of a revival. I'll tell you what I really think, and I know my voice is getting shrill. Kim will have to correct me on that. I don't think we really want to see a revival today. Because we sure don't act like it. We can give it lip service, but that's about as far as it goes. But there it is, folks. The preaching and the persecution, they will compel things to change if we are willing to step out and do it to the people and groups that God sends us to. Anyway, you heard what I thought about that. I don't think the power's diminished, but the willing witnesses, the persecution, and the preaching have. Help us, Lord, in this area. Point number two. This is found in verses 22 through 26a of Acts chapter 11. It's the Holy Ghost directives and placements. By the way, today, I don't know all the circumstances of people. I don't know who's saved and who isn't. You know, only you and yourself and the Lord know that for sure. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you are saved and the Holy Spirit is within you, He is directing your life today if you'll let Him. Right? And so for whatever reason that people are doing whatever they're doing today, they're either obeying the Spirit or they're resisting the Spirit. True? Because He's going to tell us. He's going to drag us kicking and screaming. Oh, by the way, there is a time when you can quench the Spirit. It isn't the Spirit that stops, but it's like when you brand a cow or anything you brand. People brand themselves today, even I don't know if you're aware of that. But that skin has no sensitivity anymore to touch. It becomes what? Seared with a hot iron. The Holy Spirit will not penetrate it because you've created that barrier for the Spirit to speak to your life. But folks, the Holy Spirit will place you and He will equip you for where you ought to be. I believe this today, and I struggle with this as well. But what we need to pray today is a cleansing of the Lord in our life and to allow the Spirit to break through those barriers, and let's do what He says to do. Sorry about that. My voice got a little carried away there. But that's okay, isn't it? Absolutely. God directs all this through the Holy Ghost. And He puts people in places for service. So if you want to alliterate that a little bit, He puts people in places not just to exist, for service. By the way, if any of you are bored with your life today, don't go look for the pleasures of what mankind can give you. Don't seek it in sports or finances or whatever, you know, materialistic things. Seek it in God's program. You will be fulfilled. You will be challenged and you will grow. But today we don't want to take God's challenge because it's hard. We want something that will entertain us, that we can just go and participate in and not have one stake in it. Folks, I'm sorry, I do know proper grammar. It ain't that way in God's program. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be great. It makes life worth living. And that's another thing I'm going to say, folks. Most people today, and you'll say, oh, that's not right, John. They're bored out of their skulls because they're involved in mind-numbing, useless stuff. You get involved in Jesus' program, you'll never be bored. You're going to be challenged. It's going to be biting you all the time, the things that are going to go on. It's going to be hard. The church is a very hard place. Fruitland would be 20 times this size if there weren't problems in the churches. It's going to be that way. You better get used to it. I got my feelings hurt. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus got more than His feelings hurt for you and me. Huh? Never forget, the Holy Spirit puts people in places for service. My question before we go into this text is, are you and I in the right places? Sometimes I wonder. But also sometimes I know this, and my wife is used by the Holy Spirit on my behalf too. And she encourages me and says, John, you work where God has called you. And that's the truth. We need to know where God has called us. And then we need to get to work. Are we in the right place? Let's look at the text. 22 through 26a. I've got to turn a page, sorry. Then tidings of these things came upon the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. The persecuted church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. By the way, the name Barnabas means encourager. You might jot that down in your Bible. At a low point in the church in Jerusalem, the message got back to that church that had been persecuted, all the people that had been driven out and had gone all around. They found encouragement in that, and who'd they send? They sent a guy that was still in their congregation in Jerusalem named Barnabas to be an encourager to these people that went out again and spread the gospel. And now we're gathering together at the church in Antioch. Verse 23, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. By the way, Barnabas is what we need today, folks. I hope to be an encourager to you today. Just in this message, you know, bringing it. But that's what we need, folks. We need to be encouraged. We have no reason to be down about anything. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager. He'll poke us, and we need poked. We need poked hard. People asked me this morning, probably some of you have noticed my eye. I said, Kim smacked me in the eye, trying to get my attention. That's not what happened. Kim did give me a left hook in the jaw early in our marriage one time. And I learned Always to be very careful about that from that point on. But God will wake us up, folks. He will if we're going to be awakened. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. See, Barnabas didn't look at this as a glass half empty. He looked at all this as a glass half full. See, he'd seen God's grace in all this. And notice what else in that verse. He was what? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I translated that song a little different one time years ago up at Calvary. My translation was, he has made me mad. He has made me mad. And I inserted her name. He better watch out because he has made me. But seriously, are you glad today in Jesus? He was glad and he exhorted, there's that word again, encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they would what? In the King James it says cleave unto the Lord. That's the word separation in English. Separated to the Lord. By the way, historically, that's what we've always preached here at Fruitland. Separation. Not to be isolated from the world, but to be separated from the ways of the world and separated unto God. Barnabas told him that there. By the way, that's a key thing. You know, most of us walk on 2 feet, and aren't you thankful for that? But one thing you learn very early, if you're jumping creeks or cricks, as I call them, you cannot have 1 foot on one side of the creek and one on the other. Sometimes you have to jump in. You can't straddle things. And this is what the key is to getting going on this, folks. We have to have both feet planted firmly on God's side of the creek. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the other thing that's wrong today. We got 1 foot on one side, one on the other. We're being stretched. And in many cases, I won't go to the extremes, but in many cases, people are being separated too today, and they're saying, yep, I'm not going with God. I'm going with the world. Nothing new. Verse 24, notice this. He was a... Luke calls him a good man. By the way, the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. But what's the point here? He was saying he was a good man in the Lord. Okay, that's what the implication is here. He was a godly man. And he was a kind person. He was a force for God that came there to Antioch. He was a good man. And notice here also in 24, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and faith. Folks, that's a lot of the problem here today. We're not letting the Holy Ghost take our life over. Amen. And we're not what? We're not walking by faith. But you know, that's what makes God's people attractive when people are like that. It'll make you and I attractive to others for the cause of Jesus Christ when we're filled with the Spirit and when again, we are filled with faith. It'll make a big difference in our missionary efforts. And notice the result again in 24. And a few people responded. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. By the way, and I know we're probably going to have to come back to this next week. Is that a problem with anyone? If it is, you can come in for some counseling. I'll give you some good counseling about it. Paul had been monkeying around because Paul got himself into a little trouble too when he went and started preaching the gospel down around Jerusalem and in the places where he was called locally. Remember, he was from Tarsus. Wasn't well thought of as a converted Jew. How many years did Paul monkey around before he got started with all this? Right here's the call of Paul to get where he needed to be. Study it out. It's 11 years, I'll tell you. Paul fooled around. He didn't fool around. He did not know what to do for 11 years. He was seeking God's guidance. Remember, he went to the desert for 3 years. He was stymied. Maybe there's people like that here today. We just haven't. Someone needs to encourage them to pick up. I'm encouraging you today through the message here of the Lord to pick ourselves up and let's go. Who will partner in this? How will we partner to work in this? That's the responsibility of the church. But notice here, he went after Paul 11 years, and now Paul was going to be chosen of God. That's how this all turns out, and was used right up here on this map to reach untold souls for Jesus Christ and to plant local churches. The Holy Spirit puts people in their places for service. Now, I was going to go through 26A, and I'll do that. 26A, we'll quit for today. We'll come back next week, Lord willing. And when he had found him, what did he do? He said, come back to Antioch. Next week, we'll find out why and where that all led. But he said, and he invited him, he says, I'm going to bring you to Antioch. And then we're going to see what took place after that next time and what we need to be doing to prepare and get ourselves on the right track, again, to be in God's will, revolving around missions in our own life and in the life of the local church. The following points will be this next week: the preparation in the word and practice for service. That's what we'll look at. And then the fourth, the calling, sending, and serving of the Holy Spirit through the church. In closing today, the local church is the epicenter for missions. It's not the mission agencies. It's not the missionaries. It's the local church. It is the epicenter. Listen very carefully to this and jot it down. Weak church, you fill in the blank. Weak missions. Weak church, weak missions. Do you see a thing here about Fruitland, maybe? Our pattern today that we learned and will learn next week will create a fervor for missions and a healthy church. The fervor has to come first, then the health comes. Okay? That's the point that we'll see in all this as we go along. It's not only a fervent and a healthy church, it's a revived church. This is the pattern, Fruitland. Where are the people? Where is the fervor? That's the question I want you to leave with today, about yourself first and about the church secondly. Where is the fervor to participate personally by sending our own and empowering others to be sent? I'm still waiting for someone to jump up someday and say, hey, the Lord's called me to do such and such and such. And I'm going to say, what's the matter with you? This is what people told me. Why would you want to go into the ministry, John? It's low paying. The people are hard to deal with. Why would you want to do it? Because God told me to do it. Maybe you've identified with that as well, that same kind of a thought. But folks, we need to participate personally, and we need to send our own people and empower our own people. We'll learn how to do that next week, to be sent. And I close with this. This is not just a good speech, but it's an imperative for a healthy church. It is an imperative for a healthy church. Folks, this is where I see it at Fruitland. We're basically at sink or swim time. What will happen with the future at Fruitland Baptist Church has largely been presented here this morning. This is only one area that the church has been called to be involved in, but it again is indicative of the health of a church, how we deal personally and as a church with the call for missions. It's sink or swim time. My question in closing today is, who will be moved off base today? I'll tell you what, folks. If God doesn't do it today, he'll do it sometime. And if he doesn't do it till you see him face to face, we are accountable for these things before him. It's important stuff. As we close today, know this, though. If there be one here who has never trusted Christ, who's never come into a personal walk with him, who is not filled, or in this case, not even indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Today's the day. If you have, if you're seeing something in this today, you say, I've got to have that. Well, you need Jesus. The rest will come if you let it. If you let it. Friends, we live in an exciting and dynamic time. This is not a time to roll over and die. It's a time to wake up and live. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 348. Since I have been redeemed, I'm going to add to that, what have you been doing? As we sing this song today, this hymn, that's the question. Will you leave here like usual, or will you leave here changed? I'm up here up front. You don't have to come up front. But I just want you to know this today. I am going to encourage you, if you're going to take a step of faith, to move. And we'll do it together. But that's my question. Since you've been redeemed, what have you done? Yes, that's all we need to do to be saved, but it's not the end of the thing for what Christ wants to see happen in us. That's the key to this today. Let's sing it today. You move as you're moved. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Sing it out. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. And now I'm going to go through those doors until I have to come back again. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. Who that's been redeemed here today is ready to put it on the line for Jesus? I'll tell you what, we'll encourage you today. We can encourage one another. Let's sing the chorus. If you're led today, otherwise, till God deals with you, it won't change. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. Denny Wheeler, close in prayer, please.